music hasn't been playing.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Really fun.
It does. Well, hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to Drive Through HR, the number one internet talk show and as it relates to HR, where every day for 30 to 45 to today, 60 minutes, we kick off and do all kinds of fun stuff, like talk about failure and how you pivot and turn into success or what's on your mind or all kinds of things. Anyway, I'm blowing this intro, so let me introduce you to my fabulous co-hosts, Nisha, William, and Michael. Nisha, you want to kick it off?
Oh, yeah. Well, again, first of all, we are pretty happy to get this wonderful audio for today. And we're using a new feature, invite guest co-host through HD, so which is actually really cool. So I really wanted to give a shout out for our BTR. Again, this is your host, Nisha. And as you all know, I'm on Twitter at TheHRBuddy. And we're going to talk more about success and failures. And with that, let me hand over the mic to my friend, Michael Landerward.
Hi, everyone. I think I'm on every day this week. I also don't think William has joined us yet. If he's going to make it or not, I don't know. But, great show yesterday with Heather Bussing to start the week. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, she gave some great backstory about the struggles that she had with addiction and her recovery. It was actually quite moving, and we both wound up a little teary-eyed on Blog Talk Radio, which hasn't happened that many times. So if you haven't listened to that show, give it a that was a great example of what we hope, what kind of content we hope the show can deliver. So with that, I guess we're going to, I don't know exactly what we had planned for today. So, Crystal, we sort of did a show together last week. And
we did. I think that what we wanted to do this week, if memory serves right, and it's been a bit since we've talked about the show program for today, was really to help people understand what we're talking about when we say, let's talk about failure. Because failure is scary. Failure is a very scary concept to go through on our own, but certainly when we look at publicizing things that aren't perfect to the world, it's a really scary thing. How am I going to be judged? What happens if people misunderstand? I don't want to be labeled a failure. So we figured it would help to talk about our own experiences and to talk about what we're hoping to get out of this new show format and why we made the change.
Right. And Nisha wasn't...
Yeah,
that's actually really cool. And one thing I really love about is that we are all live on air at this moment. I know we all are co-hosts at Drive Through HR, but we don't get that often. We don't do the show often together because we are also busy. But we have decided at Drive Through HR, yeah, we have to do one show together every month, at least one show, and that's what is happening right now, and we are enjoying it. And going back to successes and failures, I can't wait to, you know, hear all of our guests and their stories and their challenges that they had. Some of them, yeah, they are pretty open and they really wanted to let us know how they, you know, suck into life and then how do they overcome and things of that nature. But some are really, yeah, they really don't want to get into that mode of, oh, I haven't failed, you know? That's what they say.
Like, I kind of feel like if that's what you're saying, then we all know you're a liar. Like,
correct, exactly.
No one has a perfect experience 100% of the time. If you have a 100% hit rate on everything you do, that means one of two things. Well, one of three things. One, You are flipping crazy and you are a bad judge of whether or not something succeeds or fails. Two, you're not trying. Because I mean, if you play it safe, I guess if you play it safe enough and you never take any chances and you don't do anything risky, then maybe you never fail if all you do is nothing. But I mean, if you ever try something new, there's a stumble associated with that somewhere, I think, right?
Correct.
Or three, you're lying. Anyway, go back, Nisha, sorry.
No, Crystal, going back to one of the points that you said is like people sometimes, even if it is a positive thing or if they are going to kick off something new that is outside of their, you know, comfort zone, even that too, people don't share that much. Thinking of a failure, what if they fail in that, you know, endure? And in that case, oh, I don't really want my audience to know about my failures. So in that case, people might...
Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
No, in that case, people, they don't even share even the positive things, even the new challenges that they take up and how that's going to roll. But you may never know who is going to approach you with help, right?
Right. Well, who's going to approach you with help or who you might help? I mean, so I think a couple of things. One, when we look at this, we have to, I mean, anybody coming on the show or talking about what they're doing or what hasn't worked well, understand the point isn't to be like, oh, yo, I failed. Look at me. I am a failure. That's not the point. The point is to help people understand how to pivot. So, you know, I guess maybe one thing that we could share with both our audience and our potential guests is that we're not going to really drag out the failure part too much of it. I mean, you have to talk about that to get context around decision making that was made and how did you pivot and how did that impact both where you were then and where you are now? Because let's face it, we're a culmination of our decisions, good or bad, good and bad. We're a culmination of our decisions.
Correct.
I'm trying to tweet and not talk and talk. So I still haven't mastered the art of talking on the phone and tweeting. I don't know why that's so difficult. I can do it on TV. Anyway, I think the other day, Crystal, when we talked, I thought you know, like gave a really great succinct example, which was, you know, even Steve Jobs, who, you know, invented what is, you know, quite maybe the one of the most beloved brands in the world today, you know, failed several times, you know, both along the way and after he left Apple, before he came back and, you know, resurrected things. I mean, there, and it's not, I don't think people are really scared to come on and talk about failure, but I think it's just, you know, I think we ourselves found ourselves in a rut and we sort of had this happy, friendly show. And now when people come on, I think they're struggling just like I am. Like I haven't got a script of questions yet that I'm comfortable asking. And so I think the flow of the show, we're still trying to find ourselves. But I think I think the other thing you did, Crystal, the other day, I thought was really good, was there are two hashtags, the art of failure, because there is an art to it, and success stories. And I think that those two hashtags spell out exactly the mission that we're trying to do kind of very succinctly. So I kind of like those additions, you know, those are good. So
I agree with that. And I don't know that we're ever going to have, maybe we will. And between you, William, and Nisha, we've got some really smart cookies here. But I don't know that we'll ever have like this pat formulaic answer for this particular format, because to some degree, failure is a stumbling challenges. They're personal and situationally specific, right? So I think what we do have in terms of a show format is we're going to hit upon a challenge, a failure or stumble, struggle, however you want to word that, in either your personal life or your professional life, whatever you feel like is most appropriate to share. And then how did you pivot, right? How did you pivot that into a success? So we'll probably spend more time around pivots, but how we ask that, like what specific questions we ask, I think will probably be very different with each guest. So I think that's kind of cool though for the audience personally, and audience, please feel free to weigh in, because it never gets boring that way. Like you never really know what to expect.
Right. And I know like yesterday, like with Heather coming on, I, as the host, you know, I mean, she was, she was very brave and you know, to come on and talk about such a personal issue. And I was, it was kind of like I was in a job interview, but I was rather timid about asking her, you know, like I didn't know how to start the show, right? You know, so Heather, let's talk about your days of, you know, addiction, right? And it was kind of like, so we, you know, we beat around the bush a little bit, but once the conversation got rolling, it was fantastic. At least I thought so. I was, you know, I've known Heather for a while and I really, really like her a lot. And, you know, the fact that she would just come on and be so open just, you know, is yet another reason why she blows me away so many times in a year. And, you know, it was a little struggle to get it going. And I think I think yesterday I kind of felt with approaching that topic with her on such a personal level, I kind of felt like maybe some of our guests feel when they first come on, you know, I was kind of like, I don't know what I want to say here exactly, because I just couldn't find a way to turn the key that I felt comfortable with, you know?
Yeah, she is awesome, and she would help us, you know, in terms of making us do a better job of hosting. So I appreciate that. Well, talking about successes and failure stories, you know, one of the things that tried to ensure that we have decided, okay, we are co-hosts, but at the same time, we also need to embrace the failures at Drive-Thru HR and share our own stories to our audience. So in order to kick off, I thought, okay, yeah, let me start that. And again, as you all know, I'm a proactive person. I'm so passionate about meeting people and getting together people and making connections and all, as you all know, throughout my network. But at the same time, I had this, I would say, weakness in my life, you know, the kind of a mode wherein I think too much, you know. And I tend to think about, you know, what's going to be in the future, or I need to plan things ahead, and I need to, you know, prepare myself to handle those challenges and all. And I go on that mode, and I end up in a situation like life is entirely different. And especially, for example, in my life that I've moved to United States, I never thought that I would be in a situation of not having a work visa. And that was an emotional trauma stage for me. And I don't do well when it comes to emotions or when I'm handling any emotions. So at that period of time, I was really into a bad mood, almost into a desperate mood of, oh, what I'm going to do? How do I get back? Or if I need to go back to college, it's a hell lot of expense and I don't have that money with me. So what's next? So I was thinking all this. But luckily, after going through a lot of networking and after meeting people like Crystal, William, and Mike, and many out there, and you know who you are, you inspired me in order to, hey, hang in there, lady, hang in there. And I started blogging, and I started interacting with people, and I started talking to people. I started talking about our own industry. That's how I got into Drive-Thru HR. So I appreciate Brian Wimpen and William Tinkamp for that. Thank you so much for bringing me on board and inspiring me throughout my life. And believe me, right now I am so excited because last week, after 4 years of wait, I finally got my employment authorization. How cool is that? I finally can get back to a day job, get back to my career.
Congratulations. That's so cool.
Thank you, Crystal.
See, by stretching and putting yourself out on Drive-Thru HR, you are now going to have so many more connections and contacts in your work search.
Well, yeah, every day when I interact with somebody out there, every day when I get any job calls out there, I know that I'm totally connected. There is so many people out there, you know, sending their support and reaching out to me saying, hey, where do you want to go? Let me help you, or let me help you connect with the right person. Or if I meet somebody over an interview, they are saying that, hey, we know so-and-so person, and they have good things to talk about you. So I was like, I'm so blessed to be around so many people around me. And thank you so much to everyone.
Well,
now, to you, Crystal, what's your story?
There's so many different failures to choose from. No, so, you know, we talked last week about a couple of our failure stories, and I shared one about running HR and just issues that I had associated with that. And part of it was age and part of it was experiences. And so today, you know, I figured what I would talk through is a little bit different from the standpoint of just some of the struggles and challenges that I've learned over the course of owning several businesses over the last few years. And I noticed as I was looking through that, like when I decided that was the bent I wanted to talk about, I looked at a couple of different things that I saw these patterns that had emerged, and I have this really bad habit that it could go really, really well, but it usually fails. And that's involving friends in my business, right? So whether that's selling my business to a friend and then I don't get paid, or you know, joining up with friends and work and it doesn't work out, or you know, just getting into a business with a friend and it doesn't fail from the standpoint of the partnership doesn't work, but just you find out that you both want different things and it's not attainable and sustainable long term through that one business. And so, you know, I was like, God, that it feels like I've failed in that area a lot. Why haven't I learned from this yet? And I don't know that I have like a pat answer, but things that when I kind of dug into it a little bit, I mean, what I really, really understood was I don't necessarily ask crucial questions before diving into things. I mean, situationally, right? Like sometimes I do a really good job of it, but often I want something to work so much that I'm willing to overlook or just not probe deep enough and figure, oh, we'll figure it out as we go along, right? Ready, fire, aim.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting failure.
Well, sometimes, you know, I really want to get your take on this, Crystal. And then, Mike, please let me ask this question to Crystal. You know, at that period of time, have you, you know, normally people will have this situation of not liking to ask that tough questions for your sake and for your business sake. So how about you? What happened to you in during that period of time, and how did you overcome that? Because we don't always ask tough questions to ourselves, but then you tend to overcome that and take that lead, and then that helped you a lot, right? So tell our audience, how do you actually, you know, come up with that kind of a habit or that kind of a mode of sitting down and writing down some tough questions that you really want to ask yourself and to figure out what to do next?
Well, I mean, so I'll be the first to say this is still something that, you know, I'm working through in one degree or another. I wouldn't say that my partnership with Carrie is a failure, and I think she'd probably throttle me if I did. But, you know, as many know, and if not now, everyone will know, I started a business a couple of years ago with Carrie. Actually, I started a business and called her and said, I'm making you a partner, whether you want to be or not. And she laughed and was like, yeah, you know, I think that sounds fun and this could be great. And we've made some really great moves together, and we've built a very good business, I think. Ultimately, she has decided to return to corporate life. And so she's working for Ronsted Sourceright, which is wonderful. The job is perfect for her. It's great. I know I'm not answering your question, but I'm getting to it. So you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that that in itself is a failure, but what I would say is the failure is this habit that I consistently have of, oh, I like you, let's work together, right? So I have a probably not a totally unique thing of I'm friends with a lot of the people that I'm in, that I share an industry space with, right? I work for myself, so I can't say my coworkers, but I'm friends with a lot of industry people. And so I want to do things with them and I want to get them involved with my work. And I want to be involved with their work because I like spending time with them and I like seeing them succeed. So if I can help them, that's great. And that's been a problem of mine. Like when you dig down to what the problem of that is, it's like, one, it's not my job to save the world. And two, just because you like someone doesn't mean that you need to do everything with them. Not everyone can be your best friend, right? So to answer your question, when I recognized this pattern, I sat down and said, how far back does this go? Like, so step one was realizing from a topical perspective, what is the actual problem? on a subject matter, and how far back does this really go? Like, how ingrained is this pattern of behavior? And then from there, what's been the effect? Like, when I can see this pattern of behavior in these different instances that has happened, how did those resolve itself over the years? You know, what did it do? What was, how many were positive results? How many were negative results? What changes did I make after each one of those? Or am I making the exact same mistake over and over and over again? And is it really a mistake each time, right? Like, because if sometimes it ends positively, maybe it's not a mistake. And then from there, it's okay, so how do I keep from getting into that situation in the future? And, you know, I'll be honest with you guys, it's still a work in progress, you know, but that's where I started. Mike, do you have any input on this?
You know, it's over the years, I guess, that I've mostly been on the internal side, right? So, you know, I wasn't looking to start businesses, but when you look at who you're going to do business with as a company, I've always been a little, you know, I mean, it's great to be able to bring your friends in for business, I guess, but I've always been a little leery of that too, because for exactly the reasons you said, Crystal, that it sometimes it goes sideways on you, you know, and then you own the failure with them or something. So I guess what I always tried to do is, if I was going to try to build something, you know, in the business around a relationship-based connection that was going to translate into a working relationship with my employer, I just, you know, I tried to make sure that I was really clear in my own mind that those people could deliver, as opposed to just bringing them in because I like them and I like to hang around with them, because that's not really what was going on. Yeah.
There's can and will, right? Like, because I don't think I've ever brought somebody in who wasn't capable of delivering.
Right. Right.
But I definitely brought people in both under a W-2 perspective, as, you know, in different partnerships and different businesses, because I've had five or six over the years, and then brought myself into the business of others who were not capable on delivering what was needed to make those ventures successful. Right. So, and again, not talking necessarily about my current endeavor, but through the years, that's certainly been an issue. But one thing I've seen that's consistent in all of them, even when it goes well, it's almost impossible for that to not change the dynamics of the relationship that you had. Not to say that it will ruin it, but it changes it, right? Like, I don't think that any of those friendships weren't affected in one way or another. And I think the most successful was probably the HR generalist that I hired when I was working at Sotheby. And it didn't work out for a lot of reasons. But when we had to part ways professionally, it cost us our friendship for almost 5 years. And we worked our way back to it. And she is absolutely one of my favorite people now. And hopefully I am at least in her top 100. But we are friends. But it took a long time. And there was a lot of emotion that had to be gotten over. Because, you know, when you're at work, you can't necessarily act the same way as you would when you're hanging out drinking coffee, right? Especially if you're hiring someone to work for you. So I think that's been my biggest learning lesson, is I'm really careful about who I have work for me as opposed to with me these days.
Well, so the thing that always intrigues me about that, though, right, is that we many of us are in the business of recruiting, so we bring new people into our organizations that we don't know all the time. Right. And so isn't there, you know, with a friend in a relationship that, you know, there's like a higher level of trust, but I guess there's also a higher expectation of delivery or whatever, you know, and it just, it has the potential to go sideways. I don't know that this was, I'm going to jump in with a little bit different angle on this. When I first got in HR, I was very ambivalent. And well, actually very resolved not to develop personal relationships in the workplace. And I don't mean like work, you know, like saying hello to people at work, but friendships in the workplace. I didn't fraternize with the HR department, that the people that reported to me. We didn't go out socially. And I really resisted even becoming friends or golf partners or anything with other managers. And it took me a long time to realize, and I did that because I was always leery of the idea that, you know, someday I may have to lay them off, or I may, you know, and if I had a friend friend relationship or a personal relationship, it was somehow going to affect, you know, the HR side of the things I was supposed to deliver. And as it turned out, that was very bad misjudgment on my part, because once I got over that, which took me a few years, you know, I developed the ability to, I interacted a lot better with staff and peers, because I think even though I was mostly concerned from a standpoint of just remaining like a neutral party in all things, what I was actually doing was making myself appear to be very standoff and elitist or whatever, and it just didn't sit well. So personal relationships, I guess, coming back to it, is, you know, they're important, but they're not always the linchpin for for great business, which I guess is what you're saying. You're continuing to try to learn at this point, Crystal. But so how do you make those, like with Carrie, for example, you said that's turned out great. So there's one that worked. But in some of these others, what did you learn?
Well, so for starters, part of what I had to learn was to listen to the nagging inner voice, right? So there was, a few years ago, there was an opportunity to work, to take my firm and my line of business and bring it into a different organization that was also very new. And I liked that because I missed having coworkers, and I've never really, you know, I'll be the first to say it, I don't enjoy a lot of the administrative side of owning a business. So this sounded great. But as I talked to them, what they were trying to build and what I had were not the same thing. I had a consulting business around employer branding and recruitment marketing with some recruiting strategy, but mostly recruitment marketing and employer branding. And they had the desire to deal with one very small segment of that. And so it really wasn't a great fit for me to try to bring my client base in. And I wondered if they would convert. But I wasn't overly worried about it because I was told that wasn't what was needed. But in reality, it was kind of what was needed. And so when I came over to do a very different job for this organization and my client base didn't convert, it left with some really hard feelings that had I listened to those nagging doubts in the beginning, perhaps we could have avoided all of that. And it could have been a very different experience, I think, for us. So I learned that. Also, you know, I've learned there's no amount of expectation setting in the beginning that will ever be enough. Like when it comes to working with your friends, there is the need for continual and very honest conversation. And so if you are going to work with your friends for your friends or have your friends work for you, there needs to be regular and considerate feedback. So what I mean by considerate is you can't just give honest feedback. I mean, of course you have to give honest feedback, but it can't just be, hey, you're messing this up, or this needs to change, or we've got this deliverable, or whatever. If it's all very factual, functional information, then you know, that doesn't really help a whole lot. So you don't know necessarily how that might be perceived or what might be misconstrued. And frankly, you know, people need to know that you still care about them as a person too. So that's a challenge for me. It's always been a challenge for me. So I really, in the last year, it's been working on, hey, you know, you do this really well, and I love these strengths, and here's something you've done well, and here's something we need to change. And I try to end conversations now with a written follow-up of, this is what needs to happen in order for us to be able to successfully move forward. And if you don't understand any of this, or you want to talk about any of this, I really value your input. Where I didn't always do that, and I think that's affected some of our friendships. So there's a couple of lessons.
So friends with business, so friends and business and friends at work, it's a little complicated, yeah. But then if you said, as you were saying, Crystal, that is a great insight out there for our audience. If you set real expectations and if you know how to work together, it can be fixed.
Yeah, I mean, it could definitely help. You do have to kind of go into it recognizing that you're changing the dynamics. Correct. Of your relationship. And unless you're truly in an equal partnership, and very few relationships are of any kind, are 100, or, you know, evenly matched 100% of the time, right? People need different things at different times. People are capable of giving different things at different times. So the power balance is rarely at 50-50. So, you know, you just need to go in knowing that it could potentially change your relationship and understand if that's something you're okay with.
So it's like your mindset, right? So you and your friends are working together and then you're in a team. And then if you think something in your head, like, yeah, you're really wanting to do, and then the other partners will come up with something that is going to compensate your own thoughts and the way that you want it to go. So it's all about a mindset, I guess, and the wavelength here that you have with your own team that you have. Is that so?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Besides which, I don't think there's any other way to really, if you're really trying to start a business, which I've only done a very little bit of, and you're looking for somebody to partner with, you've either got, I mean, there's a few things that'll bring you together, right? Somebody's got an idea that you share, you know, somebody that you think you could work with, somebody who's willing to give you money to back it. I mean, I don't know. I don't think you could go out and just pick someone off the street and say, hey, you want to start a business? Or, and there's no such thing as Tinder for partners, business partners that I know of anyway. So I guess you gotta kind of date among your friends for business in some ways, don't you, Crystal? Or no?
I think any kind of working relationship, there's a dating period ish. I mean, however you want to frame that, relationships that need to be established and you need to be able to do some matching. I will tell you, if I had to do everything all over again, if I were able to go back to step one, what would I do differently? I probably would have engaged in more psychological evaluations, not of like, is this person crazy, but how would we bit? So going to see an organizational psychologist, or if they had, you know, elevated careers for business partners, or, you know, what, eHarmony for business partners, whatever that might be, I probably would have put my business partners and I through that, or requested that we do those kind of things, so that we could understand upfront where our potential gaps might be and create plans for that going in. I think that would have saved us headaches.
I'm really glad they didn't have that for the selecting the hosts on drive-thru, or I wouldn't be here right now. So
whatever. I think we do a great job. So like on the positive side of things, we look at successes. I think this is one we do well.
No, I'm joking. I'm actually looking at, I guess William will make excuses and apologies for William. He's on a phone call he couldn't get off of. So I was really looking forward to hearing his stories, but obviously the story is he's doing business, so he can't make it, at least not yet. So
I seriously think that we should do a show like we did with you and I last week. Like there needs to be one with Nisha and William to balance it out, and then the two of them can go back and forth. And then Nisha, you can
go. Sure, that sounds great.
you guys can set that up on one of the open days. So Crystal, you did a bang up job of, you know, filling out the calendar for the last, you know, for those next foreseeable weeks. But you know, there's a lot of people out there with stories. There's a lot of people who've been guests on Drive Through a bunch of times, and you know, some folks are coming back. But we're talking new things. But if somebody wants to be on Drive Through, what's a good way for them to connect? I mean, beyond that we know them or have a conversation with them, how can somebody reach out to us?
We've definitely gotten a few requests to guest on LinkedIn. I will tell you that's an awful platform for me, but it might be a better one for the three of you or some combination of us as hosts. Tweet us, email us. I don't know if we have a show email set up, but you're certainly welcome to email me at my work address, which is cm@brandedstrategies.com. I think we also have, probably the best way is to go to our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page, Drive Through HR, DriveThruHR. Send us a message. We get that. And we do book hosts off of those messages, or not hosts, sorry, guests off of those messages. Which host sets that up for you varies. Sometimes it's Nisha, sometimes it's Michael, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's William. But, you know, we will get back to you there. So that's where I would go. We are definitely looking for guests in October and November. That's really where we're booking at this point.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things that we kind of agreed on, and I think maybe we'll t maybe we, anyway, one of the other things we agreed on is while this idea of failure and success and telling those stories is kind of our driving theme right now, it's also not impossible for us to do like another topic if somebody has something that's compelling or if somebody really wants to. I mean, we're not just trying to be a show for anybody that wants to show up and sell something or promote something, but at the same time, we're open to other ideas beyond just this one scripted thing, because we've done some of that in the past, I think. And
Yeah. I mean, I think that we are, although I'd say, there's very few things that don't fit in the storyline to some degree. How did your business grow? How did you succeed in life? How did you come up with this initiative? I know we're talking with Paul Hebert on, is it September 2nd?
HR positive, right?
Yeah, which is a new organization that came out of the need for that organization came out of something negative, right? So I won't steal Paul's thunder, but I think to some degree that negative to positive fits a lot of story arcs. But you're right, it's not the only one that we're willing to explore. So, if you've got something, as always, if you've got something that you feel like needs to be shared with the HR world, let us know.
It is indeed, and if you have listened to our shows throughout this month, you can experience that because we kick off the show with asking them their success and failure stories, but then it can go to any different direction based on where our guest wants to go and what they wanted to communicate with us in terms of HR industry and in terms of people management as well. So. It's been really great going on with this team, and great conversation has been happening, and we can't wait for the rest of the month too, and look forward to learning more and more from the upcoming guests as well.
Agreed. So, hey, can we talk about a failure that isn't our own and discuss whether it's a real failure?
Sure.
Okay, so what do you guys think about the Amazon stuff that's come out over the last week?
You want to go ahead, Nisha?
I feel like the crickets
I would like to hear what Crystal think when it comes to, the employer branding aspect, and I can see a lot of conversations that are happening on our Facebook page when it comes to that. So being an expert in that industry, I would go to Crystal first and then soak up to what she has on her head when it comes to what's happening in that industry.
Oh man, I got put back in the hot seat. Okay. Well, I mean, so we've talked a little bit about this on my Facebook page, and it is public. But so I want to take a different tack, though. I don't want to say that they failed, because I don't know that they did, right? I think it's really easy to say, "Oh, look, this is a failure." And let me say, there's probably been some HR failures from the standpoint of like how people were treated or whatnot. It certainly sounds like there was in reading all of their stuff. But when you look at it from a broader perspective, there's a few things that come to mind. One, I love the saying that no press is bad press. I don't know that I 100% believe it, but when you look at Amazon marketing on the whole, we're having a lot of conversations about Amazon, and people are exploring what it's like to work there in a much deeper way than maybe they were a couple months ago. So to me, that's not necessarily a complete failure, right? Like that's a win. I want people to dig into organizations and ask what it's like to be a part of it and how they might be affected and what their work-life balance is going to be like. So there's all good things there. I think for the most part, it highlights the need for looking at a culture fit pre-hire. And David Lee wrote something on LinkedIn this morning on Pulse. And if you know him or connected with him, or if you can just do a search, I would look at that article because it was really intriguing. One of the things he said was, you don't have a culture. Culture isn't established at the moment that you hire somebody, right? Like you don't hand them their badge and say, "You now get our culture." Like it doesn't work that way. Culture fit is developed. What can be pinpointed pre-hire is the propensity for fit. Like what is their potential to fit with your culture and your subcultures, right? So I think if anything, Amazon has highlighted a need to explore that at a much greater level than what many organizations do. And also, I think it's shown, Jeff's response to it has shown some of the, what people are calling a bubble, I think is really just indicative of subcultures. And every organization has several subcultures, depending on the size of the organization, to contend with when they're talking about cultural marketing, right? So as we put out all of these bright and shiny employer brand messages, it's important to know that we need to also create geo-specific campaigns that address specific subcultures that exist within our organizations. So that's my top level thoughts.
It is indeed, because when we talk about the culture of an organization, yeah, overall picture, we get it. But when we, you know, talk about different teams inside that organization, they have their own, you know, mini culture based on the team leaders and the team vibe that they have in between them, right? So, what were you saying, Mike?
I was just going to say, you know, not commenting on Amazon specifically or whatever, but just in general, there's sort of a positive and a negative feedback loop for brands these days. Everybody's trying to build their brand, you know, Crystal's business based on that, and you know, the social media and everything. But there's also sort of in the press there, you know, if you look back like Zappos and Holacracy, I mean, there's been a lot of takedown articles about Zappos, and there's you know, Zirtual failed last week, and as soon as that failure happened, there were a ton of articles that came out about the CEO, you know, she mismanaged the company. So in some ways, I guess what I'm seeing is in the press, there are these stories, and they're sort of like takedown reality show press in some ways. Not to say the New York Times is like a reality show, because it's pretty meaningful, significantly successful mainstream media. But the author...
Yeah, in general, just totally feel like it's a reality TV show. I mean, come on.
It does, though. Yeah. But there's a lot of people, you know, especially, Amazon's taken over the world, and from a business, you know, they're from a business perspective, and, you know, dominating so many sectors, and, you know, whether they're profitable and all those kind of things. But you know, there is a tendency in our society to kind of love to knock somebody off the pedestal, right? And that was one article, right? And there wasn't just David. There were several other Amazon people who came back out and wrote about things, you know, and Bezos put out a memo. I mean, whatever you can call it, damage control, call it spin, whatever you want. I think what people have to think about in those articles, and that, of course, it's circulated like crazy through the HR community, is you got to look a little deeper than just what you see in the New York Times. You got to, you know, just, and like you said, Crystal, listen to the people who talk. Look, are they still hiring? You know, are people leaving in droves? Are they, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure the turnover is probably higher than they like, but all those kind of things. I'm just saying, look under the first peel.
The worst organization in the world, and I don't know which one that is, so don't ask, but the worst organization in the world is still hiring, and people are still accepting those jobs. It's not a matter of good culture or bad culture. And we frame that conversation, we in general in our industry frame that conversation wrong way too often. It's the right culture for the right personality types. So if we spent more time trying to figure out who's going to fit in the environment that we've created, and that's not to say that some environments don't need change, they do, but who can hang with that, I think we'd be better off. But that's another pivot story for another day. So I think we're supposed to wrap up. Mike, you want to take it away?
So this was our monthly host show, minus William, who didn't make it because he was on business. And so we're very happy to have spent some time with each other, and very happy to have spent some time with our audience. And please hope you continue to find the show and the new theme interesting. And if you're interested, come on. And if you want to know more, talk to any of us individually. But otherwise, it was great to catch up with you, Crystal and Nisha. And I'll turn it back to Crystal.
I think we're out of time. We'll see everyone tomorrow.
Bye.
Same bat time, same bat channel. Thanks, guys.